once again to Word on the Hills with me, Gwen Cheltimer, my co-host, Felicity Sidnell Reed, Chris Cameron, our sound editor, and our guest this week, Sharon Ramsey Curtis. Each week at this time, we visit with a local or regional author or other persons involved with writers and readers. We ask our guests to introduce us to their work and to read for us. We like to get a glimpse into their lives and find out what inspires them and what prompts them to write. And we're delighted to have Sharon Ramsey Curtis with us today. Welcome, Sharon.
Thank you.
Sharon is the author and illustrator of Edward Covered and Gladioli Sleeps In, two lovely picture books for young children. She is also a watercolor artist, potter, and gardener. Sharon, please read us your artist statement so that our listeners can learn a little about you and what inspires you.
As a human being, I seem to be most at ease when I'm making, doing, and or creating. I love that creating seems to keep my brain sharp, and being in the presence of other creative persons seems to inspire me to venture further along my own creative path. I love useful things, and my pottery, while decorative, is always functional and ergonomically designed. I'm inspired by growing things, change, words and their meanings, colors, lines, and patterns. These are the elements which show up in my work most frequently. I create because creating is the conduit by which I'm able to most understand the world and myself.
That's a lovely statement. I think there's pieces in there that would apply to most artists, so that's lovely. Thank you. So what inspired you to start writing in particular, Sharon?
Well, I've always been a collector of words. I just love words and their kind of finite meanings and so on. And I worked as a kindergarten teacher for a lot of years, and I was always making up tiny stories, longer stories, and so on. Just so I've always sort of played with words. Edward Covered was a special book. It arrived because of a friend of mine, Dan Cullen. His mother had told bedtime stories to he and his brother, and he asked me if I could illustrate the story that his mother, Margaret Sinclair, had written. I demurred at the time because I said, that's not the kind of art I do. I do landscapes and still life and things like that. However, I found in the weeks after he had asked about it that I kept sort of thinking of ways in which I could do that. And so, long story short, we went ahead. I rewrote the story, I illustrated it, and Edward came to be.
Now, you say you rewrote the story. So did you know about what goes into a picture book? Like, did you take any courses?
Well, I didn't really know in technical terms what went into a story. However, 20 years of reading picture books to kids gives you a good sense of when you need to hurry up, when they're fidgeting, when you've lost their attention. When I went through the story that Margaret had written, I found there were many sort of dangling personalities that sort of appeared and never went anywhere. And there were things that couldn't have happened and so on and so forth. So with their permission, I kept the heart of the story and I rewrote it in a way in which I knew that would be more listenable for my children.
So what do you think are the most important elements of a good picture story?
It's interesting. There is a controversy right now that's sort of going on in storybook writers, and that is the picture book writers want you to illustrate and not tell. They want you to use as few words as you possibly can in order to get the story across and then use the pictures to tell what's going on. And I understand that. And in writing Gladiola, I rewrote her several times. I put in words, I took out words and so on. But I couldn't ignore my own focus, which is words. I grew up sort of saying, oh, what does that word mean? What does that word mean? And immediately I got sent to the dictionary and I spent hours sitting on the top step down to the basement with the dictionary in my lap, just lost reading it, finding the word I was looking for, and then just carrying on for ages and ages. I want children to hear words in a story that they don't know, and I want them to say, what does that mean, Mommy? What does that mean? And I want their vocabulary to become expanded.
Yeah, I think there's importance in both those concepts. I don't think the pictures should tell what you've already told with your words and vice versa. So I think it's up to the author to leave room for the artist. But I also love the idea of introducing new words and just the play of the sound of words, don't you think?
Yeah, I do very, very much. Yeah. And so that was in sort of pondering this question that you'd posed, I kind of came to the conclusion, I think it needs to be a happy balance of both the illustration and the words.
Perhaps you'd like to read to us from one of your books.
I will read from Edward Covered. The beginning of the Edward Covered story is that the little boy in the story sees a bear and it arrives under his Christmas tree. I often get people asking me the meaning of the name Edward Covered, because it's kind of an odd title. It's a chapter book, very small chapters, but I'd like to sort of read two chapters that explain the title Edward Covered. So in chapter 3, which is called Playing in the Snow, after breakfast, the little boy put on his snowsuit, boots, hat, and mittens. He quietly opened the back door and tiptoed out to play. The boy carried Edward to that part of the garden that was hidden behind the garage and couldn't be seen from the house. As soon as they were around the corner, Edward jumped down onto the snow. They ran around, fell into the snow, made angels and snowballs, and had lots of fun. They laughed and giggled and played and played. When they went back indoors, Edward's fur was all very wet, and he was cold and shivery. The little boy took him into his room and rubbed him down with a big fluffy towel. That tickles, Edward chuckled. The little boy giggled and rubbed him some more because Edward had such a funny belly laugh. The boy loved Edward's big belly laugh. That laugh gave the boy a bubbly feeling around his heart. Well, said Edward when he was warm and dry again, I can see I will have to get myself some clothes. Teddy bears don't wear clothes, said the little boy seriously. Well, I'm certainly not an ordinary teddy bear. I am Edward Bear. And when I get some clothes, I shall be Edward Covered. The little boy thought about this for a while and decided that Edward was quite right. He ran downstairs then to ask his mother what she could do about getting some clothes for Edward. She was in the kitchen, very busy making Christmas dinner. The room was filled with yummy smells, and Mummy was busy stirring, mixing, and chopping. Edward got very cold and wet when we were playing in the snow, and we think he should have some clothes. Can you get him some, Mummy, please? Why did you choose to call him Edward, said the little boy's father. Well, he's a very proper bear, said the little boy. Teddy is much too informal. He's not an ordinary bear, you know, and besides, I think the name Edward seems to suit him. The little boy's mother and father chuckled with the boy, and his mother said kindly, after dinner, I will look in the attic trunk and see if I can find something nice for Edward to wear. Oh, thank you, Mummy, said the little boy as he ran upstairs to tell Edward the good news. Now in chapter 4, it's called Edward Covered, and he gets his clothes. Everyone was very full after a huge Christmas dinner. The little boy's father went upstairs to have a nap after he and Mummy had finished the dishes. Okay, I'm ready, said Mummy. Let's go up to the attic and see what we can find. Edward was so excited he could hardly keep from talking out loud. So he snuggled in close to the little boy and whispered, Goody, goody, goody. The little boy gave him a secret hug. They all trooped up the dusty attic stairs. Mummy went to the big trunk and started to look through it. First, she pulled out a pair of pink woolen pants. Edward wrinkled his nose and was very relieved that they were too small. Next, she brought out a small pair of forest green velvet trousers. Edward smiled a great big smile as the little boy put the pants on him. The little boy's mother picked Edward up and looked at him. The pants are too long for his little legs, but we can soon fix that, she said as she rolled up the trouser legs. I will turn the legs up and sew them for you later. She then turned back to the trunk and once more searched for clothing. Here you go, said Mummy, as she pulled the little tartan shirt from the trunk. This will suit him very well. All we need now are a pair of shoes, said the little boy. I think I have just the thing, said Mummy, as she pulled a pair of white leather shoes out of a small box beside the trunk. These look just the right size, she said with a smile. They were yours when you were a baby. Oh, thank you, Mummy, said the little boy, and gave her a great big hug. Edward wanted to say thank you as well, but he couldn't. Grown-ups were not allowed to know that he could talk. He smiled his biggest, brightest smile instead, and hoped that the little boy's mother would understand.
Thank you, Sharon. That was very sweet. We have been talking with Sharon Ramsey Curtis, writer and illustrator, about her children's picture books. And now we'll take a short break.